The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Brian Ortega. In for Wyatt Tomchek, in for Kelly Bidlin on this Thursday. How you doing, Brian?
Doing good. They asked me to do some middle relief work, so here I am.
Middle relief. How many innings did you give us today?
Huh? I'll give you two and a quarter.
Okay. We appreciate you being here, man. On your on the heels of your trip to LA, where you saw Oppenheimer for the 15th time in a better theater.
Only second time in the Chinese theater in IMAX 70 mil, which have to say there is a difference for those of you looking out there. But I think it's only going to run until September 31st, where they have to make way for The Equalizer 3 and Mr. Denzel Washington.
What's the name of your podcast so people know?
Concierge Confidential, new episode out tonight about the Juliet cocktail room that just, I think it's still in its opening days, but
no
that's at the Venetian.
Idea what he's talking about. Juliet cocktail? What is that?
Yeah, it's at the Venetian. It takes over a former bar spot, but have to say, not a fan. Mm. But that's just me.
Okay. On the show today, I honestly have no idea. Concierge Cocktail, the name of the podcast for Brian, which he does a great job on. We'll talk about Hard Knocks here in a second. I'm not sure if you're watching Hard Knocks.
I saw it yesterday.
Okay, we got to talk about that. But on the show today, Bill Krakenberger, hour number two, unscripted with the Crack Man in studio. Looking forward to chatting with Bill. He hasn't been in the studio here for a couple weeks. And we'll also talk to Pete Futak on college football. We've been light on college football this week. College football is just around the corner. And we're going to go through the exercise with Pete. Well, we will talk Notre Dame with him because I don't think we talked Notre Dame before with him. But we'll go through the exercise that we did in our VSiN college football guide, which is who you got in each conference to go 1-2, who you got winning each conference. For those who like to bet conference futures, who you got in the Final Four, who you got as your national champion, we'll do it conference by conference with Pete Futak coming up. Plus Heisman odds. We promised that we would get his thoughts on the Heisman as well. So we will do that with Futak coming up. And our senior MLB analyst, Adam Burke, we don't get a chance to talk to him many mornings because there's full slates of games. Today, it's a lighter slate of baseball games. And by the way, I don't know why it's a light slate, but it's just a horrible slate of Major League Baseball with only one preseason NFL game, which we'll talk about momentarily here in a second, but just a bad sports day, if you're not a tennis fan, that is. And we'll get his thoughts on best bets moving forward, his NFL controversial take of the year as well. Nice chance to check in with Adam when we don't really get the opportunity to do so very often. Let's begin, by the way, before we get into, because I have a tennis bet or two, and then I want to talk about this game briefly tonight, but about Hard Knocks, episode two this week, it's been out for a couple days, the Jets, Hard Knocks on HBO, Oz the Mentalist, we talked about this yesterday, who we had on this show last year, and again, for those who missed, I posted the video of it yesterday, I retweeted it, reposted it, as they say nowadays, where he guessed, you know, the card that I had pulled out, that I'd thought of, the eight of clubs that I was sitting on. And then he asked me to, you know, guess an athlete. Just think about an athlete that I haven't talked about on this show forever, like for a long time. And in this case, it was like probably forever. Any sport, any athlete. And then somehow in my head, it popped out Dan Marley, Thunder Dan Marley of the Phoenix Suns. And he guessed it remotely. Now, Brian, I don't know that I've ever been the same since that incident. I really don't. Because I don't, my takeaway from that was, I don't know if he guessed it or if he made my brain produce it. That was the sort of chilling part about it. Anyway, as I said on the video, I don't know if I love him or terrified him, but Oz was on Hard Knocks. It was clearly the highlight of that episode of Hard Knocks, the first 5 minutes of it. Where he wowed the Green Bay Packers. And apparently he's going to do a few more NFL franchises that he's already done this year. So you'll see them on ESPN. I think he did a College Game Day crew as well. We are working to have Oz back on this show.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. So we're going to effort that. He's very high in demand though. He may have dropped the mic already with the Dan Marley thing, but anyway, with Hard Knocks, the last thing about Hard Knocks, I thought that was the highlight of the show. And then I've said this in the last couple years, Hard Knocks is tougher to watch than it used to be. Do you believe that as well?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Yes. It's especially this one because they don't follow any players like home and you're just doing practice stuff. And so it's not very helpful.
So that's the difference is that they made a decision. I guess they decided that I talked about this a little with Will Hill and Felica yesterday. They made a decision that to show guys getting cut from the team was like too inhumane, I guess, to show or whatever.
And I think that was on the Jets' point of view. I think HBO likes that. I think the Jets said, we don't do that here. So if we're going to do it, that this here. Is what we'll do.
Interesting. It's a little bit of chicken and egg, too, because I think where it used to be when we were kids, and certainly in recent history in the NFL, there used to be levels of cut downs. And now it's kind of, no, August 29th, you get down to a 53-man roster. If you cut people beforehand, you do. If you don't, you don't, is my understanding. So it's also partly that now too, where it's not mandatory to cut people down in increments as it goes down. But I think that to me was part of the magic of the show because the most memorable things of that show through the years, besides the Cleveland Browns year, which was just awesome in so many ways with Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson and that whole conflict, Mark Trestman in there. But the cuts, I was always amazed through the years at how well those players took it when they got cut. And we were batting this around a little bit yesterday, which is, was it that or was it a combination of factors of they're probably numb when it's happening? Maybe they have to maintain a good attitude because they want to get on the practice squad, let's say. I'm very close to one of the kids in the Baltimore Ravens running back rotation, and I know that's probably the realistic goal for him, right, kind of thing. So I could see that. And then the third thing is probably that for a lot of the young guys, this was an accomplishment in and of itself. And there's probably a subset of these guys who it was almost like, well, it's okay because, and these are the really young guys who probably didn't have a realistic chance anyway. It's definitely a subset where they're just like, well, it's okay. I've done what I set out to do, and it's okay if this is the end of the road for me. So I think it's all three of those things. But I remember Rod Gardner of the Chiefs, famous Washington skin great Rod Gardner, when he was on the Chiefs, I remember him just being angry about getting cut. Why'd I get cut? What'd I do wrong? I loved those moments. But we don't have that anymore in Hard Knocks.
No, it's tough. And I think, like, going back to what you said, they're numb. I think a lot of these guys, it's the first time of them getting cut from anything. Like, they got to the NFL, first time getting cut. When I got laid off for the first time because of COVID, I didn't know how to take it. That was the first time I ever got fired from a job. I was like, I guess, like, I'm signing this paper, I suppose. So
I'd like to think I'd be as gracious. I don't know that I would.
Yeah, it's weird. but you're right. Like, they take it very well. But seeing a guy blow up, I think, would be a normal thing for anybody.
Anyway, just keep rolling O's out there. It'll be great. Yeah, exactly. Just roll them out every week. Tennis. Yesterday, we had a +204 dog, Yelena Ostapenko against Elena Rybakina at the Western and Southern Open in Cincinnati. It is the tournament before the U.S. Open, the Hard Court Slam. 54 cents of CLV, didn't matter. Won the first set, lost the next two, lost the third one, 6-4. That has been the story of our season here, of the last half of the year. Just ridiculous CLV to very pedestrian results. We've been up 54 yesterday, 40 cents, another match, 20 cents, doesn't matter. And so that's a loss, even though, you know, I guess the process was okay, but the result is not. And Ostapenko loses to Rybakina. Not a lot of the difference also this year is there's not a lot of value in some of these lines, at least, you know, just going on memory and looking at the Excel sheet, there's been a lot more bets in previous years. I don't see that much value on a match to match basis here. I do have one play today. I am on Karolina Mukova, I guess, with the accent on the A, against Maria Sakkari, our nemesis, Maria Sakkari. Mukova's -115. I think that's a good price to play her. This is a classic battle of long-term data versus what you're seeing with your eyes this week. So if you're just watching this tournament, you're looking at it with your eyes, maybe you think Sakkari is the better player. But in terms of, you know, 6-month data, 1-year data, Mukova should absolutely be bigger than a -115 favorite. That's how I'm playing it. Karolina Mukova is the play of the day in tennis. As far as this tournament and if there's a play, not to win it, because again, it's Alcaraz and it's Djokovic making his first U.S. soil appearance in years. They're at the top there. Obviously, Iga, who bageled and breadsticked Danielle Collins yesterday. So Iga is just looking ridiculous again. It's top heavy like that. But I do think there was a quarter bet on the men's side. And again, doing this with math, is it better to do a future right now or is it do a rollover, whatever it is? I think there is an opportunity. We don't have this in Las Vegas, despite the revamping of Will Hill's app and the revamping of Caesar's app. We don't have a quarter bet in Cincinnati here in Vegas that I can see, but certainly at DraftKings they do. For those of you in DraftKings jurisdictions, Stefanos Tsitsipas to win his quarter, which at this point means only two more matches. You just got to win two matches to win your quarter. He's at minus 110. He plays Hubert Hurkacz today, and then he'll play the winner if he wins that of Emil Roussevori and Alexei Popyrin. Tsitsipas to win quarter number two at minus 110 to me represents a very good bet. So that would be my one futures bet, if you will, on the men's side. And really, that's the only one I have in that tournament in Cincinnati. So Mukova in the match today, Tsitsipas to win the quarter, his quarter number two at minus 110. Those are my two tennis recommendations. As far as the game tonight, the Browns and the Eagles are favored by four. I don't really get this. I think if you're betting it, I think your instinct ought to be to bet the Browns, maybe even on the money line. You look at the backup quarterback battle. Philly knows it's going to be Marcus Mariota. Cleveland, it's kind of confusing because Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who was the fourth option in the Hall of Fame game, remember the Browns have played twice, he looked really good, completed 90% of his throws for 10.2 net yards per attempt last time out, whereas Joshua Dobbs, who sat in the Hall of Fame game, he completed only 50% of his passes, recorded only 3.8 net yards per attempt in week one. Cleveland's offense has actually looked really good. They're averaging 366.5 yards per game in the first two, 5.4 yards per play, but they've missed field goals. They've failed fourth down conversions, high leverage moments. They've had some turnovers. So variance, in other words, I actually think Cleveland ought to be the instinct tonight. I may actually make a preseason bet on them on the money line. Maybe I'll take the points too. But I think that ought to be the instinct anyway. That's my sole thought of that game tonight. We'll come back. College football with Pete Futak. Conference by conference. Heisman next. Numbers Game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month. It'll help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 to reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of a football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Pete Futak, kind enough to join us for a couple segments. He is the emperor, the czar of collegefootballnews.com. Treasure trove of information on college football, which he lovingly does and writes about every single season. Pete, let's roll through these because I want to get to the Heisman odds as well. Let's continue. SEC, I assume you have Georgia. Who are they beating in the SEC championship, or who are they playing?
Yeah, Alabama. Look, I'm not assuming that Georgia is going to be this BLA. Yeah, they're going to be great. They're the best team in the country. I don't think they're going to get there totally unscathed. There's going to be a loss along the way. So I do think they're going to have to win the SEC championship. Alabama, only because the LSU game is at home. And we're underestimating Alabama just because we're not sure of the quarterback situation 100%. And there isn't a Bryce Young, sure thing NFL guy there. But it's still Alabama. At the end, they got a chip on their shoulder. And they tend to do big things when they're angry as a program under Nick Saban. You look at the rest of the slate, there's probably another loss along the way before there, but just because the LSU game is at home, Georgia versus Alabama, as boring as that sounds.
Okay. And of those Power Five conferences, was there a best bet in their respective conference that you liked more than all?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's the obvious. I mean, just because their schedule, I mean, it's better than everyone gives it credit for, but it's tougher than everyone gives it credit for. But how can you not? I mean, Georgia's just that good. I mean, they return just about everyone but Stetson Bennett. So I would say Georgia out of that, it would be the best bet of the bunch. And USC, I'm buying in. I am all in that. As long as 13 stays healthy, that defense has improved. He's not going to have to do quite as much. We'll get to that in a second. But I would say USC and Georgia.
USC. What are we showing on USC's Pac-12 odds? We can pop those up on the screen. USC is Pete's pick to win the Pac-12. Always shop around for all these. Georgia, by the way, minus 115 in the SEC. USC plus 190 to win the Pac-12 at DraftKings. All right, let's do the
other. A little better deal than Georgia getting on there. So it's not too bad.
Let's do the remaining conferences. And again, 18 of us at VSiN did this for the betting guide. It's so in what is I believe, quite the upset. The Mountain West ended up being the consensus, the biggest consensus for a champion. I'm curious who you have in the Mountain West, both as one and two, and then who do you have winning the championship there?
Boise State, I mean, but they're always kind of the knee-jerk reaction. I mean, you could Funstat Boise State to death, because if you go back to like 1998, they average like as a program something insane, like 10 wins a season. I mean, they're just always there. So you're always right to just say Boise State. I'm not sold that Fresno State's going to bounce back and be this great again. Air Force is fine. I like San Diego State a whole lot more than everyone else does. Their schedule works out all right. The non-conference schedule is going to be tough, but they get Boise State at home. They don't have to deal with if Fresno State until the very end. That's a home game. So the toughest games are at home. I don't think they're losing on the road to Colorado State. I don't think they're losing on the road to Hawaii. So I think San Diego State gets there, but loses to Boise State or flip a coin if that offense comes together fast. Even though the Aztecs have to replace a whole ton, San Diego State loses to Boise State in the Mountain West Championship.
Yeah, 16 of the 18 of us had Boise State winning that, which was pretty amazing to me. All right, let's roll through these real quick, brief answers. The AAC, the American, 1-2 and champion.
Yeah, remember that Tulane again over SMU. Tulane gets just about everyone of note back. And remember, you lost UCF, you lose Cincinnati, you lose Houston. This is not the AAC of past years. It's way, way gutted. There's a big disparity. UTSA is good, but Tulane versus SMU or UTSA, I think Tulane wins it all against either one, but I'm going with SMU getting there.
You're right. Besides Pitt, this has been a chalk fest. You're right. Pitt was your real outlier. Conference USA.
Yeah.
What you got?
Western Kentucky Liberty. Again, here's the problem. The disparity in talent is just jarring. It's just night and day chasm between the top teams and everyone else. Western Kentucky is going to lead the nation in passing. They've got this high-octane offense. It's going to keep on going. And Liberty's my other kind of fun team to watch out for. They don't play any Power 5 programs. The schedule's not that bad. I'm picking Western Kentucky over Liberty, but that's a true coin flip. I think both of them are getting there. Watch out for Liberty. If you're a win total player, that's one of those teams that if everything breaks right, they could get 11-1, 12-0, because the difference between them and the rest of the Conference USA outside of Western Kentucky is massive, but Western Kentucky over Liberty for Al.
Okay. Mac, I'm going to guess Ohio Toledo for you.
Yeah, only because it's the Mac, and you can name anybody. You know, it's not going to be Kent State. It's not going to be Akron. It's not going to be Bowling Green. But, like, we had Northern Illinois win this thing a couple years ago in Tank. I mean, it's the Mac. So weird things always happen. Toledo's probably the given. Ohio's really, really strong because they get everyone back as long as the quarterback situation is healthy. So Toledo and Ohio are the two best teams going into the season. So as chalky as it sounds, you just go with the two best teams, and you know that there's going to be something weird happening somewhere in there when it comes to the MAC teams.
The Mountain West was our biggest consensus play, 16 of 18 on Boise State. Our least consensus was our final conference, the Sun Belt. What did you end up with in the Sun Belt?
Well, that's the one that, along with the MAC, that's the one that's intact, and they're still playing division. So you still have it's a great league. I mean, you look from top to bottom. I mean, even the teams like Texas State and ULM are going to be at least dangerous on a game-to-game basis. Coastal Carolina, it kind of forgotten the mix because last year was all about defense. Troy's defense was amazing. South Alabama's defense was amazing. You had all these really great defensive teams. James Madison, which would have been in and still isn't going to be able to get in because of their FCS graded status. But Coastal Carolina, now Tim Beck, the offensive coordinator of the Stars, takes over. Grayson McCall is still there. He was hurt late last year, and it showed as Coastal Carolina died down the stretch. If you look at the Chanticleer's schedule, it works out pretty nicely. They don't have a whole bunch of really nasty road games in conference play. I mean, they get the easier of the two divisions. I mean, Appalachian State's always tough. But Arkansas State's winnable, Old Dominion's winnable. The home games against James Madison, they have to take those down. But they don't get Troy. They don't get South Alabama. So I think Coastal Carolina just to get there, and then either Troy or South Alabama, the winner of that. So I'm going Coastal Carolina to actually win this thing over the Troy-South Alabama winner.
All right, what is our Coastal Carolina number here in the Sun Belt? What do we got? Because so far he likes Georgia and the SEC, likes USC and the Pac-12. No real shockers there. Coastal Carolina in the Sun Belt is... What do we got? We got odds on that? All right, we'll check on odds on Coastal Carolina to win the Sun.
It's probably pretty good because they're probably going to be undervalued a little bit. Coaching change, and again, It looked like there's so many other good teams in the Sun Belt this year that could rise up. I mean, it would be a shock if Marshall ended up being in this mix. It wouldn't be a shocker if South Alabama got there. So there are a whole lot of pretty strong teams.
5-1, shop around. 5-1 on Coastal Carolina to win the Sun Belt. Real quick, and really just the answer. You're the last four team college football playoff. Your four teams are.
Really boring. I'm just going to kind of stay the same. I'm saying Ohio State backs in again. I'm going Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, and I'm saying USC gets there. Remember last year, if Caleb Williams doesn't hurt that hamstring, I'm not going to completely say they get by Utah, but certainly it would have been closer and they would have gotten in and Ohio State would have been out. So I'm going with the two Big Ten teams, Georgia and USC, to get in this thing, and for Georgia to lose to Ohio State for the national championship.
Ohio State does not win the Big Ten, wins the national championship. All right.
And the Ohio State fans will be mad about that.
And they'll be mad about national championship. We didn't beat Michigan.
We lost to Michigan.
Okay, 2 minutes on the Heisman. Would you bet on Caleb Williams becoming the first back-to-back Heisman winner since Archie Griffin, or are you going elsewhere, sir?
I'm the most, as I said to your host last night, I'm the most boring Heisman guest ever, because you come up with a name like, yeah, could work. Remember last year Max Duggan got to the Heisman final. I mean, the Heisman's such a weird animal. But to answer your question, no, I would not bet on Caleb Williams for one main reason. Their defense is better. So if you remember last year, he put up all these phenomenal numbers because he had to. They got in all these wild shootouts because the defense couldn't stop anybody for long stretches. And he came through when needed against Notre Dame. His numbers will be there. He'll be great again. But could that hamstring be a problem? Could there be a concern that, oh, he's got NFL-itis a little bit and is looking ahead? How is this going to work in terms of just how, where USC's head's going to be at throughout the season, especially since that defense is going to be a lot better? So no, only because I don't think his stats are going to be as strong.
So who would you bet?
I'm going to take whoever you think the Georgia or Ohio State quarterback is going to be. Kyle McCord probably would be the best call for right now because his stats are going to be great. But this is going to be a year where there's going to be a lot of outliers. Drake May's not going to win it. I think it's going to be, Quinn Ewers isn't going to win it. Jaden Daniels isn't going to win it. Jordan Travis is going to win it. Klubnik's not going to win it. Penix Jr., maybe the stats are going to be there, but no. So I'm just looking down that list. No to all. I mean, I said before, if you want to make a case for any of them, you could. But I kind of say no to everyone on this list. And as I always say, if you can get the field, take it. The field bet on the Heisman's always the best, especially this year.
Sounds like you just don't want to bet at pre-flop, which is fine. Wait a couple weeks, see how it shakes out a little, try to get ahead of something.
Always shakes out early on. Whoever's that big monster game early on, that's who you go with.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. Pete,
there you go.
NFL-itis, he said. Inflammation of the NFL, I believe it's a Latin Greek term. Coming up, Adam Burke, MLB and NFL, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points. And you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Brian Ortega in for Wyatt Tomczak, who's in for Kelly Bidlin this week. And Bill Krakenberger here in Studio Unscripted. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Podiatron. Hey, it's your buddy Podiatron, PJ. He said, Godspeed, Kelly, lay off the eggnog. A lot of sympathy out there for Kelly. Kelly's vine is not the appendix. He's going to be okay. He'll be back on Monday. This is from Rula saying the Mukova bet is now up to, in some places, minus 130. Here we go again with the CLV. Oh boy, CLV store. Elvis Toast Patterson. Wow, Gilly, Crackman nailed it with Atlantic City. The Borgata is beautiful, but it's way off the boardwalk. Crack is right. You go a block off the boardwalk. Beware. This is from DQ Mike from Buffalo. He says, Usually, I drive to AC 3 to 5 times a year. Ever since the closed Nero's on the third floor of Caesars, we haven't gone back.
Nothing, they did close Nero's.
Nothing.
He's right,
like Nero.
Right by the 7-star lounge. He's correct.
Ryan Hyatt. In the open with Bill Krakenberger today, Gil nails it. These are the good old days. Talking about the bookmakers of really betting lore. These are the good old days, and we always need to take a step back and appreciate what we're fortunate enough to be a part of in our lives. Well done. Thank you, Ryan. Really do. We do need to take a pause and realize it's not going to be forever. And so what a privilege to be around the Roxy Roxboroughs of the world, for sure, in this day and age. Rich Copro, Gil, I had a deep-fried Oreo on the Rehoboth Beach boardwalk last Sunday. Rehoboth Beach is thriving and better than I remember from my youth. Oh, yeah, the O's game I saw was good, too. Rehoboth Beach, which is part of the Ocean City Rehoboth Bethany stretch in Maryland and Delaware. I guess Dewey Beach is in there as well for those in the mid-Atlantic. That is a stretch of beaches that, let's just say, weren't the prettiest places in the world.
I thought you were going to say the opposite of that. Okay,
well, they are now. They are now. But it was never as bad as AC.
Okay.
No, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Never as bad as AC. But it was not like the, let's put it this way. It's not the French, this is south of France. Let's put it that way. Never was that.
Right.
Primetime at primetime_bets. Bill Crackman, as the father of an autistic child, thank you for getting involved and helping that child. I met you a year or so ago at Oceans, and I'm glad I got to give you a fist bump. You're a good man.
Ah, thanks. He's a good guy. There's a couple good ones in there, and as a father too. Did you see the one Scott? He tagged both of us.
I did not see Scott's. What do you got on Scott?
New York mess. Bill, can I read it real quick?
Yeah, please.
Great piece. With Gil, I have a son who is on the autistic spectrum and has had altercations with learning professionals. They have accused him of violent behavior because they do not understand these individuals. So,
He goes on to say, now I have it. My son, now 16, is 6 feet and 300 pounds, a mountain of a young man. He has a problem with connotation. Because of his size, they automatically assume he would be aggressive. He had missed out on several school activities due to this, and it is something I cannot give him. And one last one. This is from 3Jack, H3131, who says, frustrating to hear Bill's story. Unfortunately, it's a lot of corporate America, underqualified puppets who are the brother-in-law / son / second cousin, twice removed of somebody who actually did make it, collecting paychecks while they suck at their job.
Oh, yeah. And another one just came out. Danny Moody, I have an 11-year-old autistic daughter. I just want to say thank you. I've almost been in a few fights myself because of some insensitive people. And we're in a big time right now of insensitive people. I'll tell you that much. So to all these people and the ones we missed too here, we really feel for you guys. And thank you for responding to us. That wasn't the purpose, just telling a story here. And don't worry. If this is not resolved to what I feel is the right decision, even though this casino gives me a hell of a lot of money, they give me a lot of money, they give me bonuses, they have great machines for me, I have no problem never going there again but throwing them under the bus. So we will be doing that here shortly if it's not handled the right way. And that goes out to Rich Copra, asked about that. So
in our last 5 minutes, and there's no artful way to segue from that, and it's not nearly as important in the scheme of life. We understand that. But I did tease about your intentions with contests this year.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what you landed on finally.
Yeah, you know, under my name, I did not sign up for anything yet. And I say that because, you know, they're filming a reality show downtown and they asked me to get involved in it. So I'm sure that's going to come out anyway.
Oh, I think I'm going to be in that too.
Good. Yeah. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Because we may have to, you know, it's funny, Gil, if you guys noticed last time I was in studio, Gil's like, I don't like anyone to go partners with me or something like that. And meanwhile, I was going to ask him on the show if you want to share some entries. And I never got to even tell you that.
Oh,
I was like,
man,
you know, I was just about to say that because, but now listen, I'll ask again and I'll ask in an ethical manner.
Okay.
Gil, do you think it's a bad thing if I take three entries under your name? Like, in other words, you take three, you have so many entries. I take a piece of you. Let's put it this way. I'm just getting a little confused here. I take a piece of yours. You take a piece of mine. I take a piece of some real sharp guys. They take a piece of mine. And that's how we share in the contest. And kind of, listen, we're way giant underdogs to even win
a
prize.
Of course you are.
On any kind of a prize in any contest,
you're still paying for it, right?
Yeah. But it lowers our risk and variance, so we want to take a little piece of. But I remember when this contest first came about, I mentioned I had like, there was a 6-entry max and I had pieces of like 30 and people went crazy.
People lost their mind.
What do you mean you have 30? I said, no, I don't have 30. I have pieces of that. What's the big deal? Like, I don't see a big deal in it. But unless they think I have some kind of mathematical edge, which is not the case. I mean, it's just, I like to use the smartest guys in the world. I go by them in every single thing I do with gambling and betting. So, and by the way, we've done this over the past 3, 4, whatever, 5 years. I've never got, never won a piece
of
anything.
You've never sniffed it.
Yeah, I got a piece of somebody else's. I shouldn't say that. But anyway, I'm planning to have the full maximum entries. For sure. And, you know, now that I look at these contests right now, where they are compared to, you know, we're 3 weeks away here, we're a month, I guess a little less than a month away. I think they're ahead of schedule. I think they're probably going to get to their numbers.
Circa is, yeah.
Yeah, Circa.
Are you going to do any of the DraftKings ones outside of the state?
You know, I read the rules on that.
Yeah.
And I actually heard your show with someone.
James Salinas. He's and only doing them.
That's probably the value. He's right. But how can we do it living in the... I can't do it living here.
No.
You have to put the picks in. I want to live... Imagine their home headquarters are, you know, 4 miles from here where every decision is made.
Yeah.
You know, not every, but most of them.
That's right.
Right down the street here. But yet I can't bet with that. I can't do their contest.
Have you been to the new Uncommons there by the Durango Casino there where the DraftKings office is?
I drove by it.
Oh, man.
It's unbelievable.
Food court over there is fantastic. Wow. Oh, yeah, it's great.
Oh, wow. No, yeah. I drove by. I was like, wow, look at the size of this place. But
yeah, Salinas lives in Colorado. So,
okay, he lives in Colorado. Yeah, like I'm not going to be back and forth, and I'm sure I'm not going to be welcomed back in Atlantic City here for a while. I'm not going to be back and forth.
The new mayor of Atlantic City, everybody.
Yeah.
Bill Graham.
Yeah, yeah. He's on Twitter, by the way, the mayor, if you want to add anything to him. So just to let you know, though, I would love to do it. I think it's great value, that contest. And now there's going to be, I heard now BetMGM is going to have these kind of pools too on their apps.
Oh, really?
Now, we have BetMGM here, so
BetMGM Nevada ain't BetMGM.
It's a different MGM, but I wonder if you could do. I wonder. I haven't checked.
Listen,
I just heard this last night.
I was like,
wow, they're having also survivors and a certain contest on that site too.
Do we know? I probably should ask this off air and probably figure out the answer before I say this out loud. But do we know why DraftKings is able to do interstate stuff, but Circa isn't?
I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I tell you that's a very good, and that was really nice of James to tell you that, because the more entries if they have guarantees, which they do have guarantees. I see the guarantees. We can get on the app here, Beans, that you can see the guarantees. They have guarantees on their things. So it's nice of James to even share that. And now that I'm putting it out there on the airwaves, so I'm sure he's going to love it.
The interesting thing was James was like, oh yeah, there's going to be an overlay. But then I had Johnny Avello on on a day where the audio was all jacked.
Right.
But we had him on and he seemed to indicate
no overlay.
That there wouldn't be an overlay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There was some incongruence between what you're able to see as the entries and what Johnny had available.
I mean, we have to remember here, too. I just showed someone that pie chart yesterday. You have to remember, DraftKings and the FanDuels and MGM, they're out there. They're out. They have a lot of customers compared to the other sports books. So John might be right. They have a lot of people on that app. And that's a season-long contest. It gives you action every week. It's a fun thing to do to have to be involved in contests, that you have action every week without gambling on the weekly games.
It's so great.
Isn't it great?
It's and Survivor's.
I used to not like NFL. I love NFL season now.
Yeah.
I love NFL season.
I feel bad that I stifled you asking me if you wanted to do an entry together when I said
I was going to ask, and he said, I won't. I don't want to give my piece of
I'll do one with you, Bill.
No, I know. Awesome. Good stuff. Look forward to the reality show with you.
Bill Krakenberg. Yes. We'll talk about that in coming weeks. Bill Krakenberger, right here on a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy. Lombardi Line is next.